On VSiN, the sports betting network.
Scott Seidenberg back here. The look ahead on VSiN, the sports betting network, coming to you from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air and at VSiN Live. It's an exciting time of the sports calendar because we have Major League Baseball postseason going on. The NBA is started. The NHL is in full swing. College football and the NFL. Everything is on and available, including coming up here on Thursday. There are lots and lots of games. On Wednesday, the Major League Baseball postseason saw two blowouts. Both overs did hit, thanks to runs scoring late. In the afternoon game, the Astros piled on the Red Sox 9-1. This is after winning 9-2 in Game 4. They win 9-1 in Game 5, and much like it did in Game 4, the over hit thanks to ninth inning runs. Two runs scored by the Astros in the top of the ninth, not as crazy as the seven that were scored in Game 4, but two runs were scored in the ninth inning on a Yuli Gurriel single that pushed the game to 9-1, total of 9.5 hits. So, if you're keeping score at home, every game of this series has gone over. Nine runs, not necessarily, but nine runs in Game 1, 14 in Game 2, 15 in Game 3, 11 in Game 4, 10 in Game 5. Game 6 of this series is coming up from Houston, and it's not going to be until Friday. It's Nathan Eovaldi's going to get the start for the Red Sox. No starter announced yet for the Houston Astros, but the Astros now are an overwhelming favorite to win this series. It's not even worth betting the Astros, honestly. You wouldn't lay this much juice. Minus 475, the Astros are to finish off the series against the Red Sox. If you think Boston can come back and win the next two games in Houston and win it in seven, they are plus 380. The Astros are your favorite to win the World Series right now at minus 105. The Red Sox, your longest shot at plus 1,100. The Braves are plus 175 to win the World Series. Dodgers at plus 700. The Braves, they handled their business against the Dodgers in a big way, winning 9-2, bouncing back from the loss that they suffered on Tuesday when the Dodgers scored four runs in the bottom of the eighth, three on a Cody Bellinger game-tying home run to beat them, come from behind and beat them. The Braves winning as a heavy money line underdog, 9-2 in a big way. They blast four home runs. The bullpen day gets it done. Drew Smiley was the bulk guy. Julio Urias just did not have it for the Dodgers, and now they face elimination here on Thursday. No starting pitcher has been announced for the Dodgers just yet. It is Max Fried on the hill for the Braves in an elimination game, and currently the Braves are minus 425 to win the series. The Dodgers to come back from three games to one down, plus 360. So those are just crazy odds. You would think it would be longer than that, but I guess with the Dodgers being home, that there's an idea that maybe, they have an edge in this next game. They're probably going to be, I think right now the Superbook has it at minus 150. No other line has been posted yet for Dodgers game five, because we don't know who it's going to be. I don't know. You go to Scherzer, you're going to have to throw somebody out there. Your season is on the line. Could be a bullpen day. Could go with, Knebel and try and work your way, Gonsolin and whatnot. But season on the line for the Dodgers at home Thursday night, game five. Can the Dodgers stave off elimination, force this series back to Atlanta? That's going to be the question. And honestly, I don't have confidence in it. I mean, look at the way that the Dodgers have played in this series. Look at the way they've played the entire postseason. And look, they won an exciting series against the Giants, but it's not like they were world beaters in that series. Maybe that was their World Series. Well, last year was when they won the World Series, but you get the idea. Maybe beating the Giants was that emotional high that just right now they are not able to bounce back from. They're losing players left and right. Justin Turner's likely done with the hamstring strain. Probably not going to see him again this season. And they could only have one game left, so you're probably not going to see him on Thursday. Well, you're definitely not going to see him on Thursday. But if they win, probably not going to see him moving forward. But they lose game one to the Braves, right? Their offense, non-existent. They score one run in the second inning, one run in the fourth inning, and the Braves walk off winners. Game two, they score two right off the bat early. That was the Seager home run. And then they score two in the seventh, but the Braves come back scoring two in the eighth, and the Braves walk it off in the ninth. Okay. Then game three, their offense is completely dead. Well, they get the Seager home run again in the first inning, but the offense does nothing until the eighth inning when Bellinger guessed correctly on a two-strike high fastball and launched it over the wall in right field. He doesn't get that hit. This series is over already. So he gets the hit. Dodgers win that game. And then the offense, again, non-existent here in game four. So I just can't see the offense bouncing back all of a sudden just because it's a do-or-die game. I mean, this game, game four, was a do-or-die game. You can't go down 3-1. And they couldn't get it done. And so why should I back them to get it done here? Would it be nice to extend the season? Yeah, would be nice. But it's probably going to be the end of the series here on Thursday between the Braves and the Dodgers. That's what's probably going to happen. The NBA was wild on Wednesday. The Knicks and the Celtics played into double overtime in a game that featured one of my biggest pet peeves in basketball. The Knicks had a 3-point lead with the Celtics having the final possession of the game. And I always am a proponent of fouling intentionally when you are up 3 in the closing seconds, because you cannot lose. And yes, I know you really can't lose if they make a 3 and tie the game, because that's the worst case scenario, is they tie the game. It's actually not. Worst case scenario is you foul them on a 3-pointer and then they get a 4-point play and win the game. But if you just foul them and put them on the line, the most they can get is 2 points and you'll still have a 1-point lead. Or they're going to have to try a crazy scenario where they are trying to miss the second free throw on purpose and get a tip-in rebound. But that just doesn't happen. So I always say foul. And what did the Knicks do? They did not foul. And what did the Celtics do? They hit the game-tying 3-pointer. So the game goes into overtime where fatigue clearly set in and both teams were exhausted. It goes into double overtime, and Evan Fournier with a big 3-pointer, and the Knicks wind up winning 138-134. They cover the small line. 2.5 is actually 1 at some points. The news with Jaylen Brown being available or not was obviously mixing with the line. He played, and he played great. 46 points for Jaylen Brown in the opener for the Celtics, but it wasn't enough as the new look New York Knicks with Evan Fournier and with Kemba Walker, they looked great. They really did. They were down, but they battled back. Fournier scored 32 points. Julius Randle had 35 points. They got 14 from Obi Toppin off the bench. So this was a really good performance from the Knicks in what was an electric atmosphere at Madison Square Garden. Watching that game on television, you, and let's say you are not an NBA person and you're dropped in from from Mars and you're like, hey, what's this? Oh, this is basketball. Let me watch it. You would have thought that that was a playoff game, not the first game of an 82-game season. That's how intense the crowd was. That's how electric the atmosphere was. It was a playoff-like feel for the first home game of the Knicks season. There's 40 more of those coming. And that's what it looked like here as the Knicks win in double overtime. We won an NBA parlay on Wednesday. We gave it out last night, and we hit it. Let's see if we can give out another one here for the games coming up on Thursday. And, of course, we have Thursday Night Football to break down. And there's four games on the college football slate as well. All that and more coming up next here. The Look Ahead with me, Scott Seidenberg, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Look Ahead on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NBA season might have tipped off, but there's still time to grab your copy of the VSiN Pro Basketball Betting Guide. It has strategies, predictions, and best bets to stay ahead of the odds makers. Our hoops experts, including Jonathan Von Tobel, provide strategy and advice, as well as predictions for conference winners, win totals, playoff teams, and player awards. This digital guide is a must-have, so give yourself a betting edge this season and get your copy now for only $9.99 at vsin.com/subscribe. Scott Seidenberg back here, the Look Ahead here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Jonathan Von Tobel joined me on the program last night. We gave out really a couple of plays, but the parlay we'll talk about in just a second. But the main two plays that we gave out, my favorite play was the Chicago Bulls. They wound up laying 5 when the game tipped off. Obviously, with the Cade Cunningham news, the Pistons were going to be without the stud rookie. So the Bulls were laying 5 on tip. I got it at 4. They wind up winning by 6. And it was sweaty because the Bulls only scored 14 points in the first quarter. But at the end, they had that 6-point lead, 94-88. The Pistons miss a 3-pointer in the closing seconds. They get the rebound and hit a floater from inside the free throw line at the buzzer, which was later, it was originally counted, so it would have been 94-90 final score. However, it was determined that it was after the buzzer, so 94-88 the final score. The Bulls cover regardless of what number you got it in at. JVT's favorite play was the 76ers laying a small 3-point number on the road against the Pelicans. And they... won very convincingly. 117-97 was the final score. The parlay that we gave out last night was to bet against the 5 predicted worst teams in the league. And that was the Pistons, and the Bulls won that game. It was the Cavaliers, and the Grizzlies won that game. The Rockets, Timberwolves won that game. And the Magic, Spurs won that game. And the Thunder, and the Jazz won that game. We hit the parlay. It was nice. It was a very nice cash on that parlay. And you didn't even need to do them all money line because they all covered the spread. Jazz won 106-87. Spurs won 123-97. It was the Timberwolves 124-106 over the Rockets. Grizz beat the Cavs 132-121. Bulls 94-88, as we mentioned, over the Pistons. So you didn't even need the money lines. Could have just went straight up with the points there. There's only 3 games on Thursday, and, it's kind of a bummer. But here are your three games. The Mavericks take on the Hawks. Atlanta is a 2.5-point favorite. It is the first game of the season for both those teams. The Bucks will be playing their second game of the season. They are taking on the Miami Heat, playing their first game, and Milwaukee is 2.5-point favorites on the road. And then the third game, the nightcap, is going to be the Warriors as a 3.5-point favorite over the Clippers. The Warriors playing their second game of the season, the Clippers playing in their first game of the season. The Clippers will be without Serge Ibaka in that game. So again, no Serge Ibaka for the Clippers. Not sure which way I want to go here with the plays for the NBA on Thursday. Atlanta is an interesting team because I think there's a lot of hype surrounding them this year. There is a lot of hype surrounding Trae Young. I mean, the Trae Young MVP talks are just everyone seems to be boosting Trae Young MVP talks. He's plus 2,000. Luka Doncic is your favorite to be the MVP. He's at plus 380. And so, you know, that's obviously you're going to see both those players in action in this game. I would lean towards the Bucks, but maybe after, you know, coming off that big game against the Nets to open the season, game two, not as much intensity, and we'll see what the Miami Heat can do at home in their first game of the season. And I do think the Warriors playing at home, they're better than the Clippers right now, so I might back the Warriors in that matchup. But some fun little props here. Let's take a look to see if we can get some, and I guess we don't have the props here on the games just yet. I wanted to see if we can get some scoring props on that Mavericks-Hawks game, but don't have any in this one just yet, or at least I'm not finding it right now on the DraftKings Sportsbook. Let's see. Okay, let's go with Luka Doncic points. Yeah, I don't have a point set just yet, but there's options from anywhere from 26.5 to 30.5 for Doncic in that one. And I'd be curious. I mean, this guy is obviously the favorite for the MVP for a reason. I guess if I had to pick a game here on the Thursday schedule, I'd go with the Miami Heat at home, plus the points against the Bucks. Bucks playing on the road. They've already played a game this season. Like I said, you know, well, they looked really good against the Brooklyn Nets, but kind of like the way this Miami Heat team looks this season, and maybe taking them plus the points at home in their home opener could be a decent play there. Or I can go with the Warriors 3.5 over the Clippers. So no official play on the NBA. These are just leans right now for these games. And totals, 225.5 for Hawks Mavericks. Seems kind of low. 224 for Bucks Heat. 226 for Warriors and Clippers. Now the Warriors, I went under the 226 in their first game against the Lakers, and it went over. It was a 121-114 game, and 226 was actually a pretty good number for that game because it was very close. Like, there was a time in the fourth quarter, there was 45 seconds left, and if Anthony Davis doesn't hit a ridiculous turnaround fadeaway three-pointer, we could be talking about that game going under because at that point, Anthony Davis hit that three to make it go to 226. And then because he made that three, they then foul intentionally. The Warriors make the two free throws. The Lakers come back and hit a shot. And so the game got pretty dicey in the final 30 seconds there with many more points than we expected. But if Davis misses that shot, it's still sitting at 223. And who knows what happens? Maybe the Lakers don't foul the Warriors. And the Warriors just dribble out the shot clock and the game just goes under. So I don't know. It could have gone either way. But seeing this total now at 226 between the Warriors, and the Clippers, I'm curious if that's a good over spot or under spot We know about the Clippers and their defense when healthy. Problem is they're not all healthy, obviously. I mentioned Serge Ibaka is not going to play. So it's going to be, you know, reliant upon Paul George. And well, Marcus Morris is probably going to play. Ty Lue said that Marcus Morris, he had a right knee injury that he's been dealing with. He would be available to play in this game. So no Serge Ibaka, but yes, probably a Marcus Morris playing for the Clippers. That's the total that really jumps out at me on the NBA board here on Thursday is the 226 with the Clippers and the Warriors going possibly over that number at the Chase Center in San Francisco. So I guess the leans for me would be the leans would be Atlanta with the points at home, Miami as an underdog at home, Golden State as a favorite at home, and then over the 225.5 with the Mavericks Hawks, under 224 with the Bucks Heat, and over 226 with the Clippers Warriors. Those would be the leans on your NBA schedule for Thursday. Much bigger slate of NBA games on Friday where we can go back to fading the projected worst teams in the NBA. Although, one of the worst teams in the Orlando Magic plays at home against the Knicks. The Knicks coming off of this double overtime performance. Will they have enough legs underneath them come Friday night? That's something that we'll have to take a look at on tomorrow's show. Coming up next, let's take a look at the four. Yes, I said four. Four college football games that will kick off on Thursday night, including one ranked opponent. And we'll see if we can find a good play, maybe a parlay, on the four college football games that will kick off on Thursday. It's definitely going to be fun to watch as you have that. You have the NFL, NBA, and the NHL, and of course, the Major League Baseball postseason all going on at the same time here on Thursday. I'm Scott Seidenberg. You follow on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir, or follow us all at VSiN Live. Make sure you head to VSiN.com to find out all the ways you can watch and listen to us here at VSiN. We'll get into college football coming up next right here on The Look Ahead.
This is The Look Ahead on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make this football season your best sports betting season ever. Start your VSiN free trial today to get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits with the money and ticket percentages on every game, plus full access to VSiN.com data and analysis. You get everything VSiN has to offer for only $22 per month. Sign up now at vsin.com/subscribe. Scott Seidenberg back here with you. This is The Look Ahead here on VSIN, the sports betting network, and there are four games on the college football slate to look ahead to coming up here on Thursday. Always exciting when we have multiple games on a Thursday night. And yes, we have four of them here. So let's take a look at the four games. First off, it's going to be a 7:30 Eastern time kickoff. Number 21, SMU hosting Tulane, and SMU is currently a 21-point favorite, a 14-point favorite in that game. They are number 21 in the country. They are a 14-point favorite in that game with the total at 70.5. Make no mistake, Cincinnati is the biggest SMU fans right now, because the best way and the only way that Cincinnati can improve their resume is if they are facing off against an undefeated SMU squad later on in the season. Tulane is 1-5 this year, and they got off to that fun start when they played against Oklahoma, and they fought hard and they rallied back, and they fell just short. They had a win against Morgan State. You know, he played in an FCS school. But then the season just got away from Tulane. They get blown out by Ole Miss. They lose a close game to UAB. They get blown out by ECU. They get blown out by Houston. And now you have an SMU offense that is similar to what Houston can do, right? So it's a similar type of offense, but it's a much more potent offense. SMU with Oklahoma transfer quarterback Tanner Mordecai comes in averaging 40.7 points per game. Tulane is allowing 40 points per game. SMU is averaging 511 yards per game on offense. And part of me says, hey, 14 points, too many, conference game, Tulane probably can fight here and keep this thing close. But, you know, and there's history on their side, right? You got Tulane has an 8-2 against the spread record against SMU on the road in the past couple of times. But this is just a mismatch, a big mismatch. And SMU maybe could be caught looking ahead to the matchup with Houston next week. I don't think that's that big of look, it's a big game in the conference. Nationally, though, what's best for SMU is to finish off a Tulane team that is not going to make a bowl game this year and kick a team while they're down, run up the score, win big, improve to 7-0 on the year, remain undefeated in conference, and set yourself up for a huge conference game against Houston next week on the road. And it's going to be a fun rest of the schedule for SMU because the schedule gets difficult, right? It's at Houston. It's at Memphis. Those are two road games where SMU's probably going to be favored in those games, and I might even take the home dogs, to be honest with you. Because both Houston and Memphis can score. It's going to be a track meet between SMU and them, right? And then there's the Central Florida game, which you wish, you know, the Americans, it's a fun conference if, you know, things played out differently. But no Dylan Gabriel, so it's a different team right now in UCF, but they should win that game. And it sets up the matchup with Cincinnati. And what a game that could be. But you have to win the easy ones before you play the hard ones. And this is a layup. This is an easy one that SMU should have. And they should blow out Tulane. Two touchdown favorites. The total is 70. They should blow out Tulane. They should. Florida Atlantic is a 7-point road favorite taking on Charlotte. Florida Atlantic, 7-point favorites over Charlotte. And both of these teams, right now, I said 7, total is 57. You look at both of these teams. Charlotte is 4-2. Florida Atlantic is 3-3. However, this game, the winner would take over first place in the Conference USA East standings. And that means that they have the leg up in terms of getting to the Conference USA championship game. You can win your division. Now, for Florida Atlantic, being in first place is exciting. It probably won't last because you have to go at Western Kentucky later in the year. That's going to be a tough game. You play against Marshall coming up, but that game is at home. Charlotte, meanwhile, they're 4-2 on the year. They beat Duke. They lost to Illinois 24-14. A big win against Florida International. But I think they're a little bit, there's a reason why they're 7-point dogs. This is a little bit of a mismatch between these teams and between the talent on these teams. Nekosi Perry's the quarterback at Florida Atlantic. He was the former Miami quarterback, so he's got a ton of talent. Florida Atlantic, both teams are pretty close in terms of their stats, but Florida Atlantic's coming off a loss here to UAB. Their other loss this year, they lost to Air Force. A couple of wins against lesser opponents. They blew out Florida International 58-21. Nekosi Perry, meanwhile, if you want to know his stats this year, he has thrown for this season 1,471 yards, 11 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions so far this season. Last week, he's rushed for a touchdown in each of their last 4 games. So I think Nekosi Perry's going to make some plays against this Charlotte team. I'm not comfortable betting this game, but if I had to lean one way, I would lean towards the favorite in Florida Atlantic over Charlotte in this one. Louisiana at Arkansas State. Louisiana is laying 18 points. The Red Wolves has been, they've been bad. They let up a lot of points. They're 1-5 on the year. Their only win came against Central Arkansas the first game of the season. They lost a tough game to Memphis 55-50 in an absolute track meet. Then they get blown out by Washington. And that was a Washington team that was really struggling to find their way. I mean, everyone was down on Washington. And that was a get-right game for them. And then they lose to Tulsa. They lose to Georgia Southern. And non-competitive against Coastal Carolina. And now you're taking on a Louisiana team that just beat up, that is coming off a throttling of Appalachian State, the same Appalachian State that just beat Coastal Carolina. Honestly, it's like, where are they going to be able to stop them? Arkansas State allows 584 yards on offense, on defense this season. They allow their opponents 584 yards. I mean, that is the worst defense in the country. Let's just talk about that here for a second. The worst defense in college football. And now they go against the team that is feeling really good about themselves. I want to take Arkansas State. I really do. But this defense is the worst scoring defense in college football. They rank 130 out of 130 FBS teams. They're the worst yardage defense in college football, ranking 130th out of 130 teams. Tell me why the Raging Cajuns don't go, you know, into this game and come away with a 3-touchdown victory. I know it seems chalky, but I just can't see the game going any other way. We'll give you the 4th game coming up next, plus we'll get into the NFL Thursday Night Football game, the banged up Browns against the Broncos, here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the look ahead on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting National Championship is coming up November 5th through the 7th, and VSiN will provide coverage from the main event all weekend long, including live on-location updates for all the action. Visit VSiN.com/SBNC for more information and learn how you can enter for your chance to test your skills and win cash, including the $1 million top prize. That's VSiN.com/SBNC. Scott Seidenberg here, the look ahead on VSiN, the sports betting network. One final college game to get to on the Thursday night schedule. San Jose State travels to take on 0-6 UNLV here in Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium, a game that was originally supposed to be on a Saturday. It got moved to Thursday, and the way that UNLV is playing, I mean, why not bury them on a weeknight anyway? Not sure what the quarterback situation is going to be at San Jose State, and not sure it's going to matter. UNLV has 0-5 and 0-4 against the spread here. They have 3-6-1 against the spread in this series, 2-9 straight up against San Jose State. San Jose State as a road favorite, 21-9 against the spread as of late. So this is just a bad UNLV team that I'm picking on. 0-6 to start the season. They're not good, and it's not going to be much better. I mean, they have the 115th ranked scoring defense in college football, does UNLV, and they allow 35 points per game. They're allowing teams 452 yards per game. And while it hasn't been a great season for San Jose State, they certainly fought hard last week against San Diego State in a game that they covered. They lost by 6 in double overtime. So you can say, hey, team coming off a double overtime, playing on a short week on the road. I don't think it matters. UNLV is that bad of a team. I think San Jose State comes away with a win in this one. It's a small spread. They're only laying 4 in this matchup, 4.5 if the line moves. So I think San Jose State wins, and UNLV doesn't come up here. So a bit chalky in college football on the Thursday night schedule. But that just means that I'm looking like a dog in the NFL. Yeah, I just think that Case Keenum or not, this Browns team is very, very banged up in this game. The Browns come in here with no Kareem Hunt and no Nick Chubb. So it's not going to be good here for their offense. Behind Case Keenum, we don't know if Jack Conklin or Jedrick Wills is going to play the starting tackles. It's a short week. Teddy Bridgewater, he's also dealing with injuries. He's also banged up, but I just think that this is an ugly, low scoring field goal game. And in that case, I'm going to take the underdog. And I actually teased up the Broncos. I teased it from 2.5 to 8.5. And to me, I think that that's the right way to play this game. If you can get the line at a field goal or higher, take the Broncos. But the fact that it has dropped down to 2.5, I teased the Broncos up, and I'm very comfortable taking them on the teaser. I just put it in. The second leg of that teaser is the Green Bay Packers, getting them from 7.5 to 1.5. So we'll talk plenty about the Packers coming up on tomorrow's show. But for now, Thursday night, the first leg of the teaser is the Denver Broncos, teasing them up to 8.5. I just think the Browns are way too banged up in this spot. And if they win, which they very well could, it's going to be close. It's going to come down to a field goal. And I'm just happy pushing them up, to be honest with you, because I think this game goes either way, and it's just a mash unit right now for the Browns. So I can't with confidence back them with all of their injuries. It's just, I can't. Let's take a look at some props for this game. Quarterback props. You have Case Keenum, 218.5 passing yards. Teddy Bridgewater, 228.5 passing yards. Running back props. D'Ernest Johnson, who's going to get the start here for the Browns, 59.5 rushing yards for the Broncos. Melvin Gordon, 40.5. Javonte Williams, 47.5. Receiving props. Cortland Sutton, 64.5. And Tim Patrick, 44.5 touchdown scoring props. And I don't think there's going to be many, but let's take a look at your touchdown scores. You have D'Ernest Johnson is at +110. So he is your lowest odds to score a touchdown. You got Dimitri Felton, who he actually could be, getting the bulk of the carries there for the Browns in this one. He's at +165. Odell Beckham Jr. is at +175. The only thing about Odell Beckham Jr. is he healthy? What's the situation with him? That's what we have to, find out. He's questionable in this game, as are the starting tackles, as are Wills. And, and we don't know. He hasn't practiced. He hasn't practiced all week. Not a good sign. You haven't practiced all week. It's a Thursday night game. Usually not good for injuries. Melvin Gordon, +175. Cortland Sutton, +200. Jerry Judy's on the board here at +200. Is Jerry Jeudy playing in this game? Because that's something that is worth noting here. They made some roster moves, the Broncos. So I don't think that that means that he's going to play. They elevated Tyree Cleveland to the 53-man roster, and they signed David Moore to the practice squad. So Jerry Jeudy will not be activated, it seems, from injured reserves. And so that is the latest on Jerry Jeudy. So I don't think that he is going to be suited up for this game, and unless something late breaks. But I haven't seen anything about Jerry Jeudy playing in this game. I was going to maybe pick up Tim Patrick and start him in fantasy in this matchup, and because I'm banged up with bye weeks. I mean, I'm like the Broncos here, I'm like the Browns here. But the only thing that gives me hesitancy on starting Tim Patrick is that I don't know how many points are going to get scored in this game. Now, Patrick's had a really good season, right? He's got 344 yards. He has 3 touchdowns on the season in his last couple of games. He had 42 yards and a touchdown last week against the Raiders. He had 89 yards against Pittsburgh. 37 yards and a touchdown in week 1 against Jacksonville. So in a spot start situation, I was thinking about it, but I just don't know how many points are going to get scored in this matchup, to be honest with you. The Cleveland weather is also calling for rain. If we look at the forecast here for Thursday, rain is in the forecast. Precipitation, let's see if we can get the hourly weather to find out what the kickoff is going to be by, to find out what the temperature is going to be by kickoff, right? So let's see. We have few showers. Okay. So the rain does stop as we get into the evening. It does say rain, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock showers, 7 o'clock few showers, 8 o'clock mostly cloudy. So all right, the rain is done. Some showers maybe late in the evening. I should have like a board behind me, and I do the little clicker thing. The cold front's coming in from this side and the wind and everything. So it looks like it probably won't be rainy, but I just think it's going to be a low-scoring, ugly football game. I don't like anybody on the touchdown props, to be honest with you. And so I don't think I could play that. How about this for a sneaky play? Could this happen? And if it does, wouldn't it be like the most ridiculous hit of all time? No touchdown scorer +6,500. Could we see an all field goal affair? Boy, that would be so rare, wouldn't it? Hey, coming up this morning on Follow the Money, the guys will be joined by Nigel Seeley, betting journalist, at 7:45 a.m., 8 a.m. Eastern Time. Paul Stone, college sports handicapper, 9 a.m. Mike Palm, the VP of Operations here at Circa Sports, co-host of Odds On, and Paul Charchian at 9:45 to talk a little fantasy football. Maybe he'll give me advice on the Tim Patrick situation, if I should pick him up and start him. So I'm going to go with the Broncos in a teaser. I think the game's going to be a low-scoring, ugly game. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's the Look Ahead.